There is a word from the Lord today. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 30, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemy gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spare me from going down in the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I felt secure. I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, you favored me. You made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Yes. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? Am I going down in the pit? Will dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Yes. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O God. Be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. Yes. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again to stand behind this sacred desk. Be with me, O God. Stand up in me strong, O God, that I might proclaim your word, that you might be glorified as your people are edified. Bless us, O God, and strengthen us. Give us, Lord, what we need that we might be what you have called us to be. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I tagged this sermon this morning with the title, When Thanks Is Not Enough, We Will Give You Praise. On this day of worship, we have decided to bring awareness to a particular disease that is very threatening in the lives of women and even some men, breast cancer. 1 out of 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year. The disease has been around for a very long time. The Egyptians recorded on papyruses found a description of breast cancer as early as 3000 BC. One of the first cases medically documented was in 1811. We thought it was important to our church family to take the time to talk about breast cancer. Although we are a diverse church moving prayerfully towards being a global church, the responsibility of the church has not changed, and is that to impart knowledge and information that help us to grow as God's children. In our globalization, we are still a predominantly black church, and it is no secret that most of the deaths of people, women, dying from breast cancer is highest among black women. The question is why? We ignore the signs that our bodies are giving to us and do not go to the doctor. Perhaps some women find out too late because they don't have medical or adequate medical. Or is it because we don't want to acknowledge that this could happen to us? Now we all know that there are many other reasons. But the following mandates of Christ that we have a responsibility to remind you, to tell you about programs that will assist you and encourage you and not allow you to stop from seeking the help you need to live your best life. We also have a responsibility to inspire and encourage those who are battling and living with this disease. Many brave warriors have fought the good fight and have gone home to be with the Lord. For those of us who are still here, it is our call to bring awareness and help to others. Jesus said in Matthew 25 that he called us, will call us to accountability for what we as a church and believers who have been saved by grace, for what we did with the gifts that he have given us. We are challenged by the doctrine of justification by faith to put our faith into action. Those who are saved by grace and transformed by the Spirit of God will respond with their works. You see, works is not proof of our salvation. Not but it is a meaning, it, and it does not secure our salvation. It is an outward expression of our salvation. So as his church, we are called to be on the forefront of whatever it is that will empower God's people to live healthy and full lives in all areas of our life. What should we do? Whether it's breast cancer awareness, whether it's encouraging someone to vote for the platforms that advocate for everyone to have health care, whether it's encouraging us to stand and challenge the cutting of programs that assist those whose jobs do not provide medical care, or whether it's showing up at a city council meeting to say cutting the public library budget is not good or healthy for our community. We have a responsibility to speak truth to power. The list can go on and on. So on today, I would like to share with you Psalm 30, which speaks to a life-threatening situation that King David had endured. But God brought him out, and this is how he responded. In this 30th Psalm, David opens up by saying, "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up out of the grave and spared me from going down in the pit." This psalm was written as a praise song for God by David. It is not totally clear if David had been physically ill or emotionally ill. Most times we are not willing to talk about either. But emotional stress and pain is the least addressed situation, especially among Christians. For we have taken on this thought that because we are Christians, we won't have these situations. That is an indictment of our faith in God. We neglect to remember that there are forces all around us that are constantly trying to overtake us. It causes us pain and misery in whatever way that he can. We fail to realize that if our physical bodies can become ill, so can our emotional bodies. And there is no shame in doing whatever you need to do that you might be well and that you might be whole. Anger, frustration, disappointment, bitterness, and unforgiveness can lead us to an unhealthy emotional body. David, anointed to be king at least 10 years before he could take on the throne, was on the run from King Saul, most of the time running for his life. Frustration and fear of being killed by King Saul and others kept David in a state of mind of emotional illness. It is not to say that at some point David was not physically ill or near death, but the Bible does not speak of those times, at least not in this particular psalm. We know that David was emotionally ill after Nathan the prophet confronted him about taking Uriah's wife Bathsheba and killing Uriah. In Psalm 51, we know that David was emotionally ill after his firstborn son with Bathsheba became ill and died. David fasted and prayed, and after the child died, he got up and he praised God. We know later on, after the time of this psalm, that David became emotionally ill when his son Absalom tried to overthrow him and take the kingdom out of anger when his father did not punish his brother for raping his sister Tamar. And he wrote Psalm 41. You see, Psalms 31 came out of a place of relief for God's grace and mercy towards David. David was sick with a sickness that could have taken him out. He could have died. His life could have been altered in a way that his life story would have been different. But God stepped in. In that 30th Psalm, the first thing David did was he gave a testimony. So often God has brought us through some things. God has taken us out of the clutches of the enemy's hand. But we will not tell anybody about what God has done. If we would just tell somebody when they're down and out that God made a way for me somehow, that the Lord healed my body when I was sick, that you could help somebody else know that God is able to bring them through. David says, "I'm not coming with complaints about what you haven't done, God. I'm coming to acknowledge what you've already done." Their story, my story, could have turned out a whole lot different. You didn't have to heal me, Lord. You didn't have to lift me up off of my bed of affliction. You didn't have to allow me to run on to see what the end might be. David said, I'm going to tell somebody, everybody, what the Lord has done for me. Why, Lord? Because I will have the highest praise for you. I will sing my best song with my best music unto you, Lord. Others might forget what you've done for them, but me, not me, Lord. I will not forget. Others may murmur and complain about what you haven't done, but not me, Lord. Others may despise you, talk about you, Lord, but I will exalt you, for I have found favor in you, Lord. I will exalt thy Holy Spirit, thy righteous name, thy grace, and thy mercies towards me. Jehovah Rapha, who is my healer, shall be my highest praise and my constant remembrance. O Jehovah Nissi, for you have lifted me up. I will exalt you, for you have exalted me. To Jehovah Jireh, I will sing praises for the blessings that I have received. David knew that God had lifted him up out of the prison of despair. David remembered how God lifted him up out of a dark place, his sinful place, into a place of safety. You see, God's grace lifts up out of the pits of hell, from the ditches of sin, from the muck and the mire, from the bed of sickness, from the bondage of doubt and fear. We have a song to sing. We can say today, I didn't have to make it through the surgery. I didn't have to make it through the anesthesia or the hospital stay. I didn't have to make it through the treatment. But Lord, I thank you today. David says, Lord, you heard my cry and lifted me up. Now my enemies cannot gloat over me. Lord, you healed me and took me off of my deathbed. Lord, I thank you today. Lord, you spared me and kept me from going down. Lord, I thank you today. Lord, there were times when my faith was failing, if but for a moment. But God, you came to see about me, and Lord, I thank you. I could have fallen into the hands of the enemy, but Lord, you put your hands on me. Sin and all, Satan and all his nymphs would be rejoicing over me, but you have saved me from the fowler's snare. The enemy, some prophesies over God's people that we will be destroyed. And we get disappointed because of what we have to go through. But God is always present. God is always there to bring us through. David sent up a prayer, not just for himself, but for his people. David went to the source. He didn't call upon those who had no power, knowing that God is the best physician for every infirmity, every sickness. David remembered to trust in God, then in those whom God had called, the physicians, to carry out his healing. We must recognize the healing power that comes from God and is manifested through the hands of man. For God created these bodies. Who else do we go to first? When our car breaks down, we take it to an auto mechanic. When our computer malfunction, we call the computer tech. When the plumbing breaks, we call the plumber. So we too must go to the Creator first. The second thing David does is he calls everyone to join him in praise unto the Lord. You see, along with his testimony, David was already in a state of praise as he thought about the goodness of God. In the first three verses, David just kept saying, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, Lord, you've done this and you've done that. Lord, you've helped me through this and you've helped me through that. God, you remembered me, God. I thank you today. So not only did David praise, but David called upon the people of God and say, let's praise the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. God may be angry for just for a moment when we've messed up, but his mercy and his grace is for a lifetime. You see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. David is remembering what God has done and tell his people to praise God for what he's done. For God has healed us, he said. He's brought us out of our distress. He has restored our health and kept us safe, allowing us to prosper. David said, God has done great things, for thou art great. Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our sin and healeth our diseases. David is saying to the people, sing unto the Lord, O you saints. Join my song, assist me in expressing gratitude. David is saying, I alone cannot praise God enough. I need you to praise God and help me to lift him up. I thank this choir today for praising God and helping us to lift God up. God just didn't call anybody. This thing is too serious. He called sanctified folk, people who would sing from their hearts. He's calling you and he's calling me because we are the fruit of his vine and the sheep of his pasture. Don't let unbelievers cause you to be silent. You are his saints, his chosen one, blood bought, called, set apart, sanctified for a purpose that you should offer daily sacrifices of praise unto the Lord. Sing praises unto God. Sing unto the Lord. Let your praises be a grateful song in which God's mercies shall live again in joyful remembrance. Let your praise tell of his holiness. The preacher last Sunday said that the seraphims and the cherubims are singing holy, holy, holy. Not unhappily, but with trembling at the holiness of God. With cheerfulness and humility. It's in that fifth verse that David says, for his anger endured just for a moment. You see, when we've gotten out of line with God and sin, God will chastise us, but it's not forever. God removes and releases them as soon as he hears real repentance. Those who know the life that God intends for us to lead, we know that we have had the favor of God. Even in the dreariest of life's winters seem to last forever, but the light of Christ is always present to bring us through. The third thing David does is admit that he cannot make it without God. How many of you know today that you can't make it without God? You might think you can, but you cannot make it without God. In other words, in my good times, when all my enemies are silent and those who rebel against me have died and are buried, but God is still present. There is nothing more offensive to God than acting like we've made it on our own. Giving him praise for what he has done is what we are called to do. Receiving God's blessing and praising him for what he has done. David said, I realized that when I thought that I had it going on, I forgot about God until one day trouble came. And I realized that God turned his face from me. I couldn't find God in my sinfulness. I couldn't hear a word from the Lord until I repented. I said I should never be moved and humbled myself before a holy and righteous God. Because we happen to be prosperous today, we must remember that there will be days when things will be different. If we were to mark the spokes on a bicycle wheel, we'll see as the wheel turns, every spoke has its turn on the bottom. You better remember what God has done for you. Life is ever changing. It is a constant revolution. Many of you may be up today and elevated to down tomorrow. You might be down today, but God will elevate you tomorrow. That's why the church is so important. We are called to help one another when we are down. Today I might be up, but tomorrow I might be down. And tomorrow I might be down, but you might be up. And so God has called us to help one another. As the hour is growing late, I'm going to run on now to the end. David said, I will go to the Lord and cry for mercy. Prayer is that unfailing resource of God's people. I'm thankful for our intercessory prayer ministry that continues to pray for us and this church. You see, prayer changes things. If you find yourself in a situation that's beyond your ability to fix, we must go to the mercy seat in prayer. When an earthquake is shaking your life, go to the throne of grace, which will always stand firm, and pray. Let us never forget to pray. Let us never doubt that prayer changes things. You see, Saul seek music. Some seek alcohol and drugs. Some seek sex, some seek shopping, and some seek busyness. Whatever it takes to help them to get through. But remember, prayer will succeed when everything else fails. David admits that he could not make it without God. So now as I take my seat, I want to tell you that David gave a testimony. David called for a worship service of praise and worship unto God. David admitted, I cannot make it without you, Lord. Then he goes into a holy dance of praise. And he worships and says, Lord, receive my praise today. Lord, if you don't hold me up, I will surely fall. Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong. My heart is sometimes deceitful, Lord. But I forget how I got over. But you hear my repentant heart. Lord, I cannot trust in man, nor do I trust in myself. But your grace you give freely will keep me. I can depend on you, God. Lord, be my helper in all my responsibilities, in every conflict, in every trial, in every tribulation, in every sickness, in every effort to promote the Lord's cause, in every season of prosperity, in every season of lack, in every hour that we live. May gratitude and love flow from our hearts, be on our lips, and be answered in our experience. For with the help of the Lord, there is no duty we cannot perform. There is no sickness, no trial, no tribulation or conflict we cannot overcome. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Lord, we're taking off our sackcloth of doubt, of fear, of sorrow, and bitterness. We're putting on our garment of praise today, oh God. We're praising you in the morning, oh God. We're going to praise you in the noonday, oh God. We're going to praise you in the midnight hour, oh God. Lord, we testify of your goodness and your grace. Lord, like David, we got issues. But God, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we shall praise your holy and righteous name. Lord, we will remember we cannot make it without you and give you praise. And when it's all said and done, we give thanks. When thanks is not enough, we will give you praise. This is the word of God.